Today Shivim Sefer B'Chayrus Daf Zayin. We will begin at Daf Vav on the base, five lines from the bottom. Tana Rabban. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabban, Yochel Shiyol Demin Eiv. If a sheep has a baby that looks like a goat, or a Shiyol Demin Rochel, or a goat has one that looks like a sheep. Tur Min Achayra. There is no Chi B'Chayra. However, as is the opinion of the Rabbanan, v'myesh by mitzvah simonim, if it has some similarity to its mother, chayevus, there is a chi b'chayla. Shimon's opinion is, atshe rosh shivarubay daima le'imay. It has to be very similar to its mother to have a chi b'chayla. Ask the Gemara, ibayilhu, lachila, what will be the halach according to Shimon regarding allowing to eat this animal? Again, we're referring here to a situation where a kosher animal has a child that looks like a non-kosher animal. And the Gemara's question is, what will Rav Shimon's opinion be regarding the heter to eat it? Me by Rav Shimon, Rosh Ruvai, will Rav Shimon say you may only allow to eat this offspring that looks like a non-kosher animal if it's very similar to its mother, or loy? Or will he not require that? And the Gemara explains the question. Linyan b'chayra, as far as Hilchus b'chayra is concerned, Ksiv Rav Shimon says, Ach b'char shar, Ache hu shar, or b'chayra shar. Rav Shimon's opinion is that until the mother and the child look alike, that the child looks like the mother, that then and only then is there a chiyah b'chayra. Av l'chila, when it comes to being allowed to eat it, Gomo hu da amrach mardasar, if the child looks like a camel, and therefore looks like a non-kosher animal, that's when it's asr. Ha, if ishtun imigamal, it doesn't look completely like a camel, it has some similarity to its kosher mother, shapadami, then even Rav Shimon will agree it may be eaten. Adumalashna, it makes no difference. Rav Shimon will say that just like by Bechaira, the halacha is that in order for Hilchus Bechaira to be applicable, it has to look completely like its mother, or very similar to its mother, so too will be the halacha regarding Achila. Toshma. So Gemara attempts to bring a raya to answer to this question for the following braisa. It says in the braisa, Behematim Haira, Shialdamin Behematimaya, the case that we're speaking about, a kosher mother has a baby that looks like a non-kosher animal, also b'chila, it may not be eaten. However, says the Braisa, if it's very similar to its mother, chay b'chayra, chilchus b'chayra apply, shmamina. So it seems that the Braisa, since the Braisa is speaking both about achila and b'chayra, and by b'chayra the Braisa says clearly it has to be very similar, the lachila nami by Rav Shimon Rosh Merubai. As far as being allowed to eat it, Rav Shimon will say only if it's very similar to its mother may be eaten. Says Merloi. When the Braisa says that it has to be very similar, it's only referring to Hilchus B'chayra. The B'chayra Dafka. But as far as eating is concerned, it's very possible that Rav Shimon will hold that it could be eaten even if it's not very similar to its mother. And Dekanami, and the Gemara brings a raya that that's the way to understand the Braisa. Because he says the Gemara, let's look at this Braisa. The Keshavka L'Achila, the Braisa begins by speaking about the halachas of eating, the Kamlai B'char, and then it changes the subject to speak about Hilchus B'chayra. Shmamina, L'B'chayra Hu Debar Rav Shimon Rosh Shavariyot, that specifically as far as Hilchus B'chayra is concerned, is where Rav Shimon says that they must be very similar. Aval Achila Loi, as far as Achila is concerned, they need not be very similar. Says the Gemara, again, we can learn the Braisa, that Loi Lam Emloch L'Achila Nami Bai, that not just for B'chayra must they be very similar, but in order to be allowed to eat it, it too must be very similar. So why did the Braisa emphasize this halacha by B'chayra? Because B'chayra itself. The Braisa had to emphasize that this is the halacha regarding B'chayra. Because Sa'ak Da'at HaChamina, Hoyal Ksiv, Ach Bechor Shor, since the Torah uses the words Ach Bechor Shor. And if we learn from those words, Ache Hu Shor Bechor Shor, that the mother and the baby have to be the same, so maybe as far as Hilchus Bechor would be concerned, Dalach ought to be V'loi Tizgalei Beroi Shivarubai, that being very similar is not good enough for Hilchus Bechor. And the halacha would be adikikulei, unless the child really looks like a kosher animal, hilchas b'chayra will not apply. Kamashmon, that the Braisa teaches us that for b'chayra, very similar brings hilchas b'chayra, and that may be the halacha for chila as well. So in other words, we don't have a proof, a conclusive proof from this Braisa, what is Rav Shimon's opinion regarding a chila, how similar must the baby look like its mother to be allowed to be eaten? Toshma. So the Gemara comes from a different braisa. The braisa says, the pasuk says, "Achazel loy toichlo b'malai gero mafreisa parso ze yata oichlo." This, a camel that is born from a kosher animal that doesn't any have any resemblance to a cow, you may not eat. If it has some similarity to its mother, you may eat it. What is the definition of some similarity? So it's so interesting, machlokes rishonim, because we know, as the pasuk just said, we learned that a camel chews its cud, but doesn't have split hooves. So here the question will be as follows: if an animal, if a kosher animal has a child that looks like a camel, and the only similarity it has to a kosher animal is the fact that it's malagera, that it chews its cud, is that already considered Baba Simenecha? Is that already considered that it's somewhat similar to its mother? That's the opinion of some Rishonim. Other Rishonim say the malagera chewing its cud is not enough of a similarity to its mother. It has to have something else to make it similar to its mother, that it should be considered Bar b'simen echad. Continue the brayso. Veiz is a bar b'simen echad. What is the definition of bar b'simen echad? Zeh tameh hanoyled min hatar. It's an animal that looks like a non-kosher animal that was born from a kosher animal. Vibura min hatar. Not only is its mother kosher, but it's a kosher type animal, but its father as well. So, what Rabbi Shua, whose opinion we're learning now, holds, is that in order for this halacha to apply, even though it looks like a non-kosher animal, it has to have two rules. Number one, it has to come from two parents that are kosher. And number two, it has to have similarity, Baba Simen Echad, it has to have similarity to its mother. Yochel continues to write, Safili Burim and Atame, even if it has a non-kosher father, that will be the halacha. Tamaloymer, Sex Ksavim b'say izim. The Torah uses the Lashon Rabbim, Ksavim izim. Actually, Aviv Keves v'imay Kesav. The Rebbe Shua. The Shua's opinion is that you have to have both parents are kosher animals. And then also, if the offspring looks like its mother, then Rebbe Shua will hold that it's considered a kosher animal. So Rebbe Shua's position is very similar to the opinion of Rav Shimon. The Lazar Omer, Loibah Kosel Hatter Samutter, the Torah doesn't come to tell us what's mutter, that it's mutter, Allah Hosef Allah mutter. The Pasuk has not come to teach us that something that anyway would be mutter is mutter, that I don't need a Pasuk for. The Pasuk is coming to teach us that even though we would say that it's usur, it should be mutter. What is that? Tomei, to teach us the halacha of Tomei hanoyle menatar biburim menatar, that a child that looks like a non-kosher animal, whose mother is a kosher animal and his father is a non-kosher animal, that the pasuk Rabbi Elazar is coming to teach us is mutter. Or says Rabbi Elazar, and as Mepharshim explained, Rabbi Elazar himself was questioning that perhaps he's being too lenient, eli iburim menatar. And even though the child looks like a non-kosher animal, Rabbi Elazar says perhaps it's only going to be mutter if both parents are kosher. Tamloima, shor sek sovim seizim. The Torah uses the word set twice to teach us mekamakim. That even if the mother is kosher and the father is not kosher, the halacha is that it's mutter. So makes the Gemara the point. Karle Tamei, Rabbi Shua says that an animal that's born from a non-kosher, that the animal born from a kosher animal but looks like a non-kosher animal, is considered non-kosher. So obviously, says the Gemara, Rav Shua agrees with Rav Shimon. Rav Shua's opinion and Rav Shimon's opinion are identical. The Kamer, and yet, what does the Brisa say? Yet, in explaining Rav Shimon, Rav Shua, which we're now saying Rav Shua and Rav Shimon are the same opinion, it says that even though it's only a slight resemblance between the child and its mother, the halacha will be that it's mutter. So isn't that an answer to our question? What is Rav Shimon's opinion regarding Achila? Is it only by Bechayr that he requires significant similarity? But Achila, he won't require significant similarity? This Brisa clearly seems to point in that direction. Answers the Gemara. Haitana, Sovel Kalasei Bechada, Apologlei Bechada. Rav Shua agrees with Rav Shimon that an animal born from a non-kosher animal is considered non-kosher, but he holds if there is some similarity, it may be eaten. Whereas Rav Shua or Shimon could disagree and say no, that not only is it considered non-kosher, in order for it to be considered kosher, it has to have significant, in order for it to be allowed to be eaten, it has to have significant similarity to its mother. And as Tosfos explains, why would the Gemara want to say this? Isn't it just simple to say that indeed we have an answer to our question, what is Rav Shimon's opinion? Says Tosfos, since at the end of this piece of Gemara, the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa that clearly teaches us that Rav Shimon says that in order for this non-kosher child that was born from a kosher animal to be allowed to be eaten, it has to have significant similarity to its mother. So we know that's going to be Rav Shimon's opinion. So now if we're going to say Rav Shimon and Rav Shua completely concur, we're going to have a stira. How to understand Rav Shimon? That's why the Gemara says, Sovel Kavasei Bechada, Upala Galei Bechada. The Achronim want to suggest that the machloikis that we're learning now about a child being similar to its mother in order for it to have to be allowed to be eaten, versus the opinion of the Rabbanon that as soon as the child is born from a kosher mother, it may be eaten, may touch on the issue that we discussed in our previous year. For in our previous year, we discussed how do we understand when the Torah says simonim, when the Torah says that a kosher animal has to chew its cud and have split hooves, malagera, mafresis parsa. How are we to understand it? Is that what makes the animal kosher? Or is that just a simon that it's a kosher animal? Clearly, the Achroidim want to suggest the opinion of the Rabbanah, who said that as long as it's born from a kosher mother, it's considered kosher, is that it doesn't make a difference if it has simonim or not. The fact that it has a kosher mother, makes it kosher, and therefore all the simonim that the Torah speak about regarding kashrus is just simonim, it's not a siba, it's not what makes the animal kosher. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Shimon, whose opinion we're now discussing, clearly indicate that this animal itself has to have kosher characteristics, kosher attributes, in order for it to be considered kosher. They are of the opinion, it seems, say the Achroidim, that simonim, the kosher simonim, is what makes the animal kosher. And therefore they're seeking for those simonim to turn the animal, to determine if the animal is to be considered a kosher animal or not. The Gemara gives a different version of this shakla v'tarya. Vika de kamak shemaisif. There's a different way of learning this question. Iburim and atamei. In the machloikis of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, we discussed the case where the mother was a kosher animal and the father was a non-kosher animal, what will be the halacha regarding the offspring? The Rav said that the offspring could still be considered kosher. The Rishu says, we do take the father into consideration. Ask the Gemara, Bamima Abra, can we have such a situation where there's a kosher mother and a non-kosher father? Ask the Gemara, Bar Bishu Ben Levi, La'olam Amos Aberis, Loi Tameim and Atar. A non-kosher animal cannot be impregnated by a kosher animal, or vice versa. Loi Tahirim and Atame, a kosher animal can be impregnated by a non-kosher animal. Loi Gassim and Adako, a Behem Gassim can be impregnated from Behem Adako. And similarly, vice versa. Loi Daka and Agasa. Loi Behem and Chaya. A behema can't be impregnated from a chaya, l'chayim and mehema. Chutz, there's one exception, suggests the Braisa. Rebbe Lezer machlokotzoi, the case that Rebbe Lezer discussed in Masech Techulin, where he spoke about a koi, which is the offspring of a female deer and a male goat. And the Gemara there discussed the halacha of Oysa v'espenoi, which is only by behemas and not by chayas. Shoya Oimra, because they say Chaimus Aberis from Behema. So the question now is, we're discussing in the Machlokes of Rav Lezer Bishu. Rav Lezer Bishu, we're discussing a case where the mother is a kosher animal and the father is a non-kosher animal. But ask the Gemara, how could have that ever happened? Vom Rav Yirmiyah, and in answer to that question, said Rav Yirmiyah, that's referring to the situation the Bar Mikolot Ben Paro. Which means as follows. Which means as follows. We're really talking about three generations. And the three generations are as follows. We first started with a kosher male and a kosher female. This kosher male and kosher female had a child that did not have split hoofs. And according to Rav Shimon, since it didn't have split hoofs, it's considered a non-kosher animal. Now let's think about it. As far as the halacha is concerned, it's certainly, as Rav Shimon has been saying, considered a non-kosher animal. But as far as its actual characteristics, is it a behemah, is it a chaya, it's certainly a behemah. So this animal, the second generation, that as far as the halacha is concerned, Rav Shimon says it's considered non-kosher. But as far as what it is a behemah, now mated with a full-fledged kosher female. And now the question is, between Rebbe Lezer and Yeshua, on the third generation, will the third generation be considered a kosher animal, because it has a kosher mother, the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, or will it be considered non-kosher, because its father is considered non-kosher, the opinion of Rebbe Yeshua? The comer, so this Braisa seems to be following the opinion of Shimon, that holds that an animal, that even though it came from kosher parents, if it doesn't look like a kosher animal, is not considered kosher. Yet this very Bryce also says, Aval ata oichla baba simenechon, that if it has some similarity to its kosher parent, it may be eaten. So isn't this Bryce a raya, that according to Shimon, an animal, that even though it's only some similarity to its kosher parent, may be eaten, not like by Bechaira, where it has to have, according to Shimon, significant similarity? Answers the Gemara, no, that this Braisa doesn't necessarily represent completely the opinion of Shimon, because Haitana, Sabbath Kavaseh Bechada, Apologle Bechada, agrees with Shimon that the offspring, that the non-kosher looking offspring is not considered kosher, but he holds if it has some similarity, it may be eaten. If Shimon doesn't hold that way. So the Gemara digresses for a moment. Because as we just learned, there's a machloikis, Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Yeshua, if we say Zev Zev Goyim, do we look at the father or not? Rebbe Lezer says we don't look at the father, and Rebbe Yeshua says we do look at the father. Ask the Gemara, remember that Rebbe Lezer saw Zev Zev Goyim Mitter? Does Rebbe Lezer hold that we don't, that the fact that it has a kosher mother is enough? Rav Shua Sava Zev Zev Goyim Asr. And the Rishonim point out, Tosis points out, that actually in Masech Techulin, we had a question. We had a concept of choshen lezera av, which seems to be very similar to the subject that we're discussing now, of zev zev garim mutter. So the question is, when is the concept of zev zev garim mutter the question, and when is the concept of choshen lezera av? So Tosfos says that when we have two kosher animals, then the concept that we're discussing is choshen lezera av. When the issue is that one is kosher and one is not kosher, as in our case, there the halacha is, there the concept under discussion, as we're about to say, is zev zev goyim. Furthermore, there's a question in the Rishonim. What will Rabbi Shua's opinion be? Rabbi Shua was saying now, takes the father's status into consideration. The Rishonim debate is that only in the case that we're discussing here, where the animal that was born doesn't look like a kosher animal. That's why the father's status is taken into consideration. But if the child born from the kosher mother looks like a kosher animal, Rabbi Shua too will ignore the father's status. Or does Rabbi Shua always take the status of the father into consideration? Continues the Gemara. Bavcha Shemila asked the Gemara. He was saying the Rebbe Lezer holds that Zegarim is mutter, and Rabbi Shua holds that Zegarim is osur. Ask him, what haven't we seen just the opposite? Because we learned in a brisa vlad treifa, a case where we have a treifa mother and a healthy father. Rabbi Lezer, in law Yikra v'gabim is beyach. Since the mother was a treifa, the offspring cannot be brought as a carbon. Shuaimer, Yikra v'gabim is beyach. It may be brought on the mizbeach. And here too there's a machloikis. How do I understand this machloikis of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua? Some say that the machloikis is strictly limited to the permissibility of bringing this offspring as a carbon, but that everybody, even Rabbi Lezer, will agree as far as eating, the halacha would be that you're allowed to eat the offspring. That is the opinion of some mefarshim. Other mefarshim say that no, Rabbi Lezer isn't saying his halacha only as far as the mizbeach is concerned. Rabbi Lezer is saying his halacha even as far as eating is concerned. So I was like, if so, why did the Brice only speak about the permissibility of bringing it for a carbon? Why didn't the Brice speak about the permissibility of eating as well? Answer the Mefarshim. The Brice wants to teach us how lenient Rabbi Shua is. That not only does Rabbi Shua hold that it may be eaten, but Rabbi Shua is so lenient as to hold that it could even be brought on the Mizbeach. But here we have a contradiction. Here it sees Rabbi Lezer holds Zev Zev Goyim is mutter, there it says Usser, and so too we have a question of Rabbi Shua. Answers the Gemara. Ba'al Masar Rabbi Lezer, Zev Zev Goyim Usser. Normally Rabbi Lezer holds Zev Zev Goyim is actually Usser. Rishani Hacha, just here it's different. Dimkei Nichtav Kro, Sek, Sovim, Ezim. The Torah should have just said the word Se once. Why did the Torah say Sev is said twice, Lomali? To teach us, as long as it has a kosher mother, we can ignore the non-kosher father. Rabbi Shua Amalach, Rabbi Shua says just the opposite. The Alma, I actually hold, says Rabbi Shua, the Zev Zegayrim is mutter. However, regarding this halacha b'chayra, Inke licht of kra, shor kesaveis. The Torah could have said it b'losh in yochid. Ksavim v'izim lomali. Why did the Torah use the losh in rabbin? The teacher specifically, Shmamino Achehe Aviv Keves Bimakovsa, that both parents have to be kosher animals for the animal to be considered kosher. But now it goes back to Gemara, to the question that we began today's shiur with. What is Rav Shimon's opinion regarding Achila? The offspring that looks like a non-kosher animal, does that have serious similarities to its kosher parent, to its kosher mother, to be allowed to be eaten or not? Toshma, says the Gemara, the Braisa says, Rav Shimon Omer, the Torah says, Gomel, Gomel, Shnei Pamin, Echad Gomel, Noel, Mele Gomel, whether it's a camel that was born from a camel, the Torah says it twice, once in Seder the Yikra, and once in Seder the Dvorim, Vechagoma anoilim na para. Viv, however, says the Braisa, Roshu Ruba Dona Limoi, if it's very similar to its kosher mother, Mutta Bachila, it may be eaten. So clearly says the Gemara, Shmamina, from here we see the Lachila Nami Boi Rav Shimon Roshu Ruba, that even for being allowed to eat it, it has to be very similar to its kosher mother, only then may be eaten. Shmamina, it's a very clear proof. The Mishnah said, Shayotzim and Atame Tame, Vayotzim and Atar Tar. Ask the Gemara, Barminei Mirav Sheshis. So they asked the following question of Rav Sheshis. May Raglaim Shulchan Mahu. What will be the halacha regarding the urine of a donkey? Can it be eaten or not? Ask the Gemara, can it be consumed? B'tabayluhu. Ask the Gemara, why are we only speaking about a donkey? The Tabalu, the Susan Gamalim. Why don't we ask the question by horses and calves, by other non-kosher animals? Says the mother, Susan Gamalim, Lami Balu, when we speak about other non-kosher animals, the fact that we see that their urine is loyachiri, is clear, they're not similar to milk, so we can certainly assume Maya oil, Maya nothing, that it's just water that passed through the system, and since it's water that just passed through the system, the halacha is that it's certainly fine. Kikam Abayla, when do we have a question? The chamor, the urine of a donkey, the chiri, v'damal l'cholav, it's cloudy, and therefore it looks like milk. My, the fact that it has that murky look, is that a proof? The Megufa commits of Asiri, it's an excretion of the body of the donkey, and therefore it's Asir, just like the donkey is non-kosher. Idilma, the way to look at this urine is Maya oil, Maya nofik, it's just water that passed through the system. Aiv Haida Khiri, this that we see that it's cloudy, it's Chavul de Bafu, it's only from the heat of the animal. Amalei Rav Sheshis, says Rav Sheshis, Tenesua. The answer to this question is our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah said, Sheyotze min ha-tamei tamei, v'ayotze min ha-tor tor. And the question is, every word and every letter of a Mishnah comes to teach us something. So the question is, why did the Mishnah use the words min ha-tamei, or what, and min ha-tor? It could have said mi-tamei. Says the Gemara, mi-tamei lo-kamer. The fact that the Mishnah said min ha-tamei instead of saying mi tamei to teach us ela min ha-tamei, anything that comes out from the non-kosher animal, the hani min of the tamehu, and these fluids that come out of donkey, the urine of the donkey is similar to the milk of the donkey, and therefore is also. So according to this version of the Gemara, the urine of a donkey is also. The urine of other animals, however, are permitted, because the Gemara is saying that all it is that water came into the body and water passed from the body. Actually, the question would be, what would be the halacha regarding the urine of a kosher animal? Do we say, and the question really is connected to how we understand the heter that we discussed at the end of the previous shiur of drinking milk, that if we'll say that when the Torah says that milk of a kosher animal that we learned in the previous shiur we could drink, that heter is regarding not just the milk but even the whey, so then the halacha will be that the urine of a kosher animal also could be consumed. But if we'll say that the Torah was very specific and only permitted the milk of an animal based on the psukim that we discussed at the end of the previous shiur, so then the halach will be that only milk is permitted, but urine is not permitted. Furthermore, the Achrayim discuss, even if we'll say that the urine of a kosher animal is permitted, what would be if we have a kosher animal that drank non-kosher fluid? On one hand, we could say that's no different. Urine, the Torah said we could drink all the urine. Or perhaps, since we have the Svara that the Gemara now is teaching us, a Maya oil, Maya Nafik, so then the water that comes in is just the water that comes out. So this urine, if the animal drank something non-kosher, so then the liquid that comes out should still be considered non-kosher, and therefore, even if we'll say that the urine of a kosher animal is mutter, if the kosher animal drank non-kosher liquids, that urine would be awesome. Vikid Amri, but there's a different version. The susim the gemalim lo yikolim boilei. No question about that. The reason they didn't ask the question by other non-kosher animals is the light shasi inchi, because people don't drink it. Don't drink those urines. And that's why it's not discussed. Kikam boilei. The reason that they asked the question by the urine of a chamor, of a donkey, the shasi inchi, because it's something that people drink, umali li yirkoina, and it helps for jaundice. Omar shushes, to which Rav Sheshes responds, tinesua, that we learned it based on what we learned in our Mishnah, hayotze min atamei tamei, hayotze min atar tar, and therefore the urine of a donkey is awesome. So as Rishayim explained the Gemara, according to this version, there is no difference between a donkey and all other animals. The reason that they chose to speak about a donkey is because the urine of a donkey is something they used to drink for refuah. The urine of other animals they didn't drink. That's why they chose to speak about the donkey. But then, there's a different point that they're trying to make. It could be that even though characteristically the urine of all kosher animals are the same, halachically they won't be, because since nobody drinks the urine of other animals, non-kosher animals, so that urine is considered nifsal machila. It's considered completely disqualified from eating, and therefore, even though it should be considered like the urine of a donkey, it will not be considered like the urine of a donkey, because it's not edible. Says the Shach, based on this Gemara, that from here we see that a cholish she'ein bo sakana may not drink this urine, because explain the mefarshim. Obviously, we're speaking here about a cholish she'ein bo sakana, because if you were a cholish she'ein bo sakana, then a cholish she'ein bo sakana could take any food that he needs to have. Obviously, if the Braisa is teaching us that we're not allowed to have the urine of a donkey, obviously the Braisa is speaking to a chayla she'ein bo sakana, and it's not mutter for chayla she'ein bo sakana to drink this urine. The Prima Godim disagrees with the Shach, because the Prima Godim explains that that's not who the Gemara is speaking about. It could be, says the Prima Godim, that a cholish she'ein bo sakana would be allowed to drink the urine of a donkey. Aye, Gemara is saying that you may not. Who is that speaking to? Says the Prima Godim is talking about somebody drinking the urine of a donkey for preventive purposes, like a vitamin. And that, the Gemara is saying, it has a din of something that's tummy and it may not be eaten. Furthermore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Mincha Shloima, and I think the Chazon Lakish says the same verse. Here we see a very interesting point regarding the urine of the donkey. He says, urine of a donkey clearly is not a food. What makes it into a food? The fact that you want to use it as a medicine, and therefore it becomes also certain for a healthy person, and we just discussed even for what type of other people, it may not be eaten. So here we see that something that's a medicine, that isn't good tasting, and it's not something that normally would be eaten, the fact that it's used as a medicine gives it the category of an oichel, and it should have the halacha of an oichel. Neisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Neimad Amru Dvash Dvar Mutter, why may we eat honey of a bee, Neshe Chnisis Oysel Gufa, they put it into the body. They come into the body. The nectar comes into the body of the bee. They matzos megufa. They don't secrete from the body. They are kept in sacs in their mouths, and they're prevented from entering the actual body of the bee. And therefore, they're not considered a product of the bee, which we know, of course, a bee is a non-kosher insect, that we wouldn't be allowed to eat a product of a bee. So we see the fact that it just passes through makes it that it shouldn't be kosher. So why isn't it the same by a urine of the donkey? Answers the Gemara, who don't care of Yaakov? This opinion, Rav Sheshes follows the opinion of Rav Yaakov. Dama, dufsharach manashaya, that actually honey should be also. The reason it's mutter is because the Torah said it's mutter. The Tanya, Rav Yaakov Omer, as zeh toichu mikol sheretz oif, zeh toichu, v'yat toichu sheretz oif tamei. You're allowed to eat. The pasuk is teaching us which grasshoppers you're allowed to eat, but the non-kosher grasshoppers may not be eaten. Ask the Gemara, why do I have to learn it that way? Sheretz oif tamei v'ediksev, that the non-kosher insects that may not be eaten, the Torah explicitly says they may not be eaten. We don't need to learn it from a deep, says the Gemara, the way to understand the Braisa. El sheretz oif tamei yata oichel, ava ata oichel mash oif tamei mashes. What the Torah is teaching us is that even though we may not eat a non-kosher insect, what comes out of a non-kosher insect, we may eat. What is that? Vezezezet vash dvarim. Honey. Yochel. Maybe this halacha ought to apply to the honey that comes out of a gizin or a wasp. No, only by honey, nothing else. Ask the Braisa. Why do we say honey of a bee is permitted and not of gizin at sirin? Says the Gemara. When we speak about dvash, we speak about honey. It's called dvash. It's not just called dvash, it's called dvash gizim etzirim. Kaman oz lahad etanya. Ask the Gemara, but we have a braisa that says dvash gizim etzirim are tohor, they may be eaten, not just the honey of a bee. Umut b'achila, blood of Yaakov. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that we have two reasons, the Gemara has presented two reasons why honey may be eaten. Either because it doesn't go through the body, it's not excreted by the body, it's just held in sacs and then spit out, or because there's a special Gzeiros HaKosev, Rav Yaakov's opinion. So if it's a special Gzeiros HaKosev, that special Gzeiros HaKosev is only speaking to bee honey. But if it's because it's not excreted by the body, then that isn't limited to bee honey, it will be the same by Dvash Gizim Vitzar. Tar, the Braisa says that the honey of Gizim is tar. Alma, by Machshava. This Braisa seems to indicate that it needs, the Aloch is that Oichlin can Mekabel Tuma. But that's only that food that isn't normally eaten are not susceptible unless they're designated for human consumption. Now, the Braisa here says that they're tar, that the vashkis and tzarim are tar, that means they're not considered designated for eating, unless there was a specific designation. Alma boi machshava. Only when the specific designation is it considered a food, otherwise not. Tanya mi hachi, the vash bekaverta, metama tumas oichlin shleim machshava, that only regular honey, honey in a hive, doesn't require machshava, because it's considered a food. The dvash gizim vitzirim do require machshava, otherwise they're not considered food. The Mefarshim asks that here it seems that dvash is considered an oichel, and we know that throughout halacha dvash is considered a mashka. So they answer that it's only when it's in the hive still is it considered an oichel. When it's outside of the hive, it's considered a liquid. And that's why it has the ability to be machshir food, the Kabbalah's Tumah. Our Gemara has just given us two explanations why we could drink, why we could eat honey, as I said a moment ago. The Shulchan Aruch, interestingly, brings down both explanations. And there are a number of halach lemaisa nafkaminas between these two explanations. One is, what will be, if there'll be other foods that just secrete from an insect that don't come through the body of the insect? Will they be mutter or asur? If we say that what the Torah meant to say is that anything that doesn't go through the digestive system of a body of the non-kosher insect is kosher, so then it's not limited to bee honey, just like the Gemara says, it's gizim and tzirin. Then the halach will be other insects will have the same rule. But if we say that it's a special gzeres akasa by honey, then the halach will be strictly by bee honey, nowhere else. Another nafkamina is actually an issue that I saw Rav Moshe discusses in the Tshuvas, and that is what bracha should be made on honey. Our minhag is that we actually make a shahakal on honey. Why? Because we consider honey as something that went through the body of the bee, and therefore it's not considered any more nectar, and therefore a shakal should be made. But if we say that the reason we can eat honey is because it comes right from the nectar, and it's just held by the bee in its mouth, but it doesn't go through the system, so then it should be considered like nectar, and you can make a bari priya adama, and if, like the bracha would be on a flower. And in fact, perhaps, the halacha ought to be that b'di'evid, if somebody, instead of making shahako on honey, made a hadama on honey, he would not have to make another bracha. And the third nafkamina that I want to discuss is a question that there's a correspondence between Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zichrono Livracha and the Tzitz Eliezer. One of the secretions of the bee is actually called the royal jelly. The royal jelly is what is put into one of the cells of the beehive. It comes out of the bee, and that is the food that the bees live from, that they eat, that they could continue growing and secreting honey. And the question that came up is, how do we treat the royal jelly? Is the royal jelly treated like honey? Like our Gemara says that honey is permissible, so will be the halacha on the royal jelly, or not? Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach doesn't seem to feel that it's mutter. He also, however, says that the royal jelly is very bitter. The reason this question came up is because it seems that the royal jelly has very significant medical benefits, and therefore there were many that want to consume it. Shlomo Zalman says it's very bitter. It can only be eaten with a taruvus of something sweet with honey, and therefore he says if you have a vatel with the shishim, he would allow you to eat it. The Tzitz Eliezer says that the question on the royal jelly is actually perhaps connected to the way we learn our Gemara. Because if we're saying that honey is mutter, because there's a special gzeres hakosef that honey is mutter, so then the halacha will be that everything that's part of the bee, even the royal jelly, would be mutter. But if we say that it's a special rule that applies to honey, because the honey didn't go through the system of the bee, the royal jelly, which does go through the system of the bee, will be awesome. When Bilam wanted to curse Klal Yisrael, the pasuk says that Hashem says to him, "Lo sor es ha'om ki baruch hu." And Rashi says, "Moshel oimim l'tzira," it's like somebody says to a bee, "Lo medufshach v'lo muktzach." I don't want your honey, nor do I want your bite. So, explain the mafarshim. What Hashem was saying to Bilam was that the honey is not considered part of the body of the bee. And that's why he was saying to Bilam, a bracha that you give Klal Yisrael is not considered a bracha from you. It's just you're passing the words of Hashem, like the honey just passes through the body of the bee. And when you want to give a klala, however, that's uktzach. That's coming from what the bee is itself, not just something that's passed through the body of the bee. Rabbi Meir Shapiro explains that it's interesting. The Torah says Eretz Yisroel is an Eretz Zavas Cholav Advash. And we speak and we think about Cholav and we think about Dvash, two of the foods that we've been discussing in our Shurim. Cholav, we learned in our previous shir, is Dam Nekar, it's blood. It starts off as blood for Nasa Cholav and then it becomes milk. Honey, we're learning, again, is something that starts off in the bee, which is not kosher. The halacha is that anything that falls into honey itself, there's a discussion amongst Rishonim and Achronim, the legs of the bee, if they fall into honey, that the halacha is that they become like honey. Honey, too, has the ability of making something that started off as not kosher, not good, into good. Says Rabbi Meir Shapiro, that's what Eretz Yisroel is. Eretz Yisroel has the ability, like Cholav and Devash, to take something which is tamei, something which is not good, and turn it into tar, something that is good. Continue the Gemara. Chayli di'ach Musa. There were egg-like clumps that are discharged by a yachmer, which is a kosher animal. We don't know exactly which one it is. Some rabbanon meimer, beininu, they assume that they were the testicles of the male yachmer. Tasirin, they're usur because of Eved Menachai. Amar Rav Safra, Zara de Yalahu. They're not really the testicles, they're just the semen of a ayah, of a yola. Those of us of a yalta, that goes after a yalta. Vaida de Rach Mitzar, since it has a very narrow womb, loy mistitka, it doesn't mate. Vazal basi yachmurta, so now this male ayola goes to the yachmurta, the nasri, and it puts the semen into its body, and it hardens in the yachmur's womb, and that's what the chel of the yachmurta are. Omar or hamnuna, or habok neg bagish ponov shel chamor muta, the skin that comes out on the face of a newborn donkey, like the placenta, is mutter. My tama, pir shabamu. It's just an extraneous matter. It comes from the seed, not part of the donkey itself. Or chesed tainim sailoch, or haba connected punishal adam, the skin that comes on the face of a newborn human, they chayv emes tor. Meanwhile, doesn't mean who chayv imachaya, whether he's alive and its mother's alive. Bein hu meis vima meisa is the same halacha as the Gemara going to apply even when both the mother and fetus are dead, because the Gemara is assuming it's not considered part of the fetus. Loi. So the Gemara, no, it's only referring bein hu chai vima chaya, bein hu meis vima chaya. Only then will it be permitted. Otherwise, it will be takatame if they're both dead. Ask the Gemara for Tanya, we learned in the Braisa differently, because the Braisa clearly says, Bein hu chai v'imu chaya, Bein hu meis v'imu meisa, that even if they're both dead, the halacha is that this skin is considered pirsha, it's just hardened semen, and therefore it's tar, it's mutter. So the Gemara, Tanya, Tanya, if that's what it says, that's what the Braisa says, and indeed the halacha will be that we could eat this pirsha, even if the mother, the Or HaBor, connected punish Adam, is mutter, even if the mother and child don't survive the childbirth.